Hello, this is Kelly Langston, and this is God, Dreams, and Really Good Coffee. So hello, welcome to September, and the fall is just around the corner, which for this Southern girl, yes, I love it when the hot days melt away into the cooler weather and you can open up the windows again and breathe in some fresh air rather than the old air-conditioned stale air that you get in the summertime. So I want to say thank you for joining in, and it is good to be back putting out another podcast episode. And I want to again explain that when I put out an episode, I don't put them out regularly, although I feel like I should be doing that more lately. But I put them out when the Holy Spirit has given a teaching that I just can't help but share. And I think I have one for you today. It is about the two-edged sword, but instead the word that I've been studying for two-edged means two-mouthed sword. So the question today is, what is the two-mouthed sword in Scripture, and what has that got to do with us? So, welcome. It's a very important message because I think it may sound strange, that topic, two-mouthed sword, but it tells us a way that God has given us to walk through the trials of this world by walking through it with the sword, which is an offensive weapon. It's a weapon. It's a spiritual weapon, and it's necessary. It's one that God gave us when encountering the enemy. So this lesson, my purpose in that is to help provide just a thoughtful dialogue on what is the two-mouthed sword, why it matters, and how to use that in our lives, in our Christian walk. Because if God gave us that in His listing of what spiritual armor we are to use in the day-to-day walk in this broken world, which we all know it is, He gave us weapons to use, and we need to understand them to live a victorious life, a powerful Christian walk that changes the environment, that changes things around us. And one of the things, the sword, which is the offensive weapon in that list of spiritual armor, the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God, and He's showing us a secret in Scripture. It's not a secret. He's given it to us, but we have to dig that out. We have to uncover that little piece of gold and look at it and learn what it is and what it means in the fullness of God that we are called to walk and to be a light and to be something that shapes the world around us for Jesus. But first, I want to tell you about the delicious coffee that I have just found. Now, again, this is God, Dreams, and Really Good Coffee. A lot of times I talk about teas, which I also love for many reasons, but lately I was in this wonderful coffee shop here, and I had a taste of a pistachio coconut cappuccino, and it was so, so, so good. So, of course, I had to go up and see exactly what syrups were used in that. And it was a line called Monin. This is not an advertised show, but they do have pistachio and do have coconut. And I went out and snagged me two of those Monin brand syrups. And I can make now my own pistachio coconut coffees. And they are absolutely out of this world. And they are so good for the fall weather, which I just wish that I could share it with you right now. But why don't you go ahead and pause this podcast, get a cup of coffee, and have a seat, and let's get started on what is the two-mouthed sword. So, the first time I heard this term, two-mouthed sword, was when I was reading from the Passion Translation, which is a translation that I've been really interested in comparing the different versions of Scripture. But this one is a version that is translated from the Aramaic. So when I was reading from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, this is what it said. And it's different. It was presented differently than how I had read it in other versions of scripture. So let me just read this to you. For we have the living word of God, which is full of energy, like a two-mouthed sword. It will even penetrate to the very core of our being, where soul and spirit, bone and marrow meet. It interprets and reveals the true thoughts and secret motives of our hearts. That is Hebrews 4, verse 12 from the Passion Translation. So I've always heard of two-edged sword, but I'd never heard the term two-mouthed sword. So that really stood out to me, and I really wanted to find out, what is it talking about? And who are the two mouths that's referenced there? And I was surprised to see two mouths, and it just was something that I wanted to dig into other instances of where that word, what was that word, where was it translated from, and was it translated or used anywhere else in scripture that might help me understand what that term meant. So the first thing I did was I went to the Strong's Concordance, and I found that the word, and please, 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 I am not good at pronouncing words. In fact, it's kind of laughable, but I'm going to give it a try. This word comes from the word dystomos, and I hope I pronounced that right. But it means properly two-mouthed or having two edges, like a two-edged sword with both sides of the blade sharpened to an edge, what penetrates at every point of contact coming in or going out. It's an ideal defensive and offensive weapon, and it is used, particularly this word appears, in the listing of spiritual armor that we are given in Scripture, as read by Paul in the book of Ephesians, to withstand the schemes of the devil. And man, don't we need that right now. So that is why this message is so important to me, and I hope it's important to you, because there are so many schemes of the devil right now, and it's not something that we need to focus on, but it is something that God has given through Paul in Ephesians. He's given us the tools to stand, and that is what we're called to do. That is how we live the victorious life that Christ died to give us, a life in the fullness of God. That's what Jesus wants us to get to, the fullness of God that Paul speaks about and prayed over people that he was teaching, that they would move from the milk to the meat and get into the fullness of God. And that listing of armor that's many people have talked about, it's, we've done many sermons about it, but I've never heard of two-mouthed sword. I've never heard it listed that way. So that made me want to dig in and find out, what in the world is that all about, and who are the two mouths? So I looked into the roots of the word, and they come from, the word origin comes from dys and stoma. So I looked that word stoma. It means the mouth, speech, eloquence in speech, or the point of a sword. And I thought it was fascinating how those things could go together. Mouth, speech, eloquence in speech, and the point of a sword. If a certain passage in scripture doesn't make sense, is to find other instances of some of the words used in it and where they appear. So that's what I did here with that word dystomos. I looked and found out where that word appeared, and it was listed in Ephesians 6:17 as a part of the whole armor of God, and the purpose of it being given to us was to stand against the enemy's schemes. And I think right now that is just something that we really need. So I'm going to read that text for you, and then we're going to talk about it. So here we go. Finally, this is from Paul. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. This is telling us what we're facing and how to face it. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God so that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore. You hear all the repetitions of the word stand. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation, and here we go, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, Paul says, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. That's Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 20 from the English Standard Version. So here we go. The weapon then is, the weapon listed as the sword is defined in Scripture as the Word of God. So we see in that verse that one of the edges, the two mouths, is God's Word. But what's on the other side? Well, Paul gives a really strong viewpoint here when he includes a request in that same verse that he may open his own mouth boldly and declare the gospel boldly. Okay, so here we go. Again, the other side of that two-mouth sword, I believe, is our own mouth. It's listed here. Paul is showing us. He's telling you what you're facing, the principalities and all these things. He's telling you to stand. He's telling you to put on all the armor of God, all of the things listed here. And then he's saying, pray for me that I may speak, declare it boldly. He's telling you the other mouth, by example, is ours. We're supposed to speak that word. We're supposed to speak it out, declare it boldly. So consider this. God, our Heavenly Father, is the Creator. When He created the universe, how did He do it? Go back in Genesis. He spoke. God said, let there be light. And there was light. God spoke and things happened. The creation of the universe and even mankind began with God said. God spoke, things happened. So we are created in the image of our Father God. And this is where it gets mind-boggling. We, like our Father, can speak God's word. And this act changes things. When we speak God's word, we're speaking His will in Scripture, and we can see changes in our lives, our families, our communities, and even our nation, because God is faithful to His word. And I'm going to give you an example. When a father blesses his son, and all through Scripture, especially in the Old Testament, you will see cases where the elder father, the patriarch, right as he was passing, he would bless his descendants. Esau, Jacob, they were blessed. That speaking the blessing is, he's speaking it out as God spoke, but it mattered. Back then, in those days, when you were blessed and people like Esau gave up his blessing, his rights, but that blessing was sought after. It was such a precious thing. And I'm wondering if there are fathers out there that understand that when you speak a blessing over your children, it is powerful. Think about this. How many times, if you are able to go to a church service, it ends with a benediction. And what is that benediction? The next time you think about it, it's a blessing over the body. And a lot of times, I'm very guilty of this, but we're ready to go eat, or we're tired of sitting there, and we miss the power of that blessing and the benediction that is spoken over us. So here's a challenge. The next time you hear a benediction, really let that sink in, because those are powerful words. That blessing is being spoken over you, and you can take it and hold on to it just like you hold on to a sword. It's God's word. It's being spoken, and it becomes part of us. And we can count on those blessings because it is the word of God, and God is faithful to it, and he will not lie. But we've got to hold on to it and stand. Stand, therefore. Stand, therefore. Stand. We've got it. Hold on to it. Next time a benediction is spoken of you, hold on to it. It's yours. It'll change your life when you start to think that there's truth in that, but we don't pay attention to it. I know I haven't. Next time I am. I'm taking them seriously. So we're created in God's image, so we can speak God's word, and we can see changes as we speak it. See, God ordained man to have free will. And it is his system that he set up. He will not take it back. We have a choice. It is our choice. For example, I have a son who is getting ready to go out job seeking. I've watched God intercede in his life and has brought him so far. He has worked very hard to get where he is. And now he's about to go out and get a job. So I was praying for him, and the scripture that I spoke over him was, "He who began a good work will be faithful to complete it." And I know that that word is true, and that God will be faithful to complete the work that he has done. And I pray that the enemy cannot steal that. It will not be taken, because God's word said it. We are holding on to that promise and not giving it up. It's an example when we do these things and speak out scripture. We know that he hears us. The angels wait, I believe, to hear that word of God spoken. It quickens their ears, and they act. And they are ministers to those of us who are to inherit salvation. So when they hear us speak those words, it brings them into the act. I believe that with all of my heart. There's no way to prove it any other way, but one day we will know. So I speak that word knowing that I do believe that their ears are quickened to that word of God. It shows the Father that you respect that word and that you believe it. Doing it this way, speaking these words of scripture out loud, it's an example of living in the fullness of God. We're seeking God's heart. The Spirit is revealing his will to us. We're searching scripture. We're speaking it out in prayer. We're reminding God, our Father, of his own promises, and we're agreeing with his word. And that is a powerful way to live in this present darkness. It's a powerful thing for the children of God, and we will begin to see mountains moved. And now I'm going to leave you with this thought. We who believe in Christ have been given the right to become children of God, created in his image, the image of the Father. Now think about this. Jesus said, "If you see me, you'll see the Father." Well, like Jesus, we can say, if you see us, you're going to see Jesus, and you're going to see the Father, because that is the mystery of who we truly are. It is our true identity. We are children of God in Christ. That is so powerful. It's so powerful that the enemy never wants us to know our full authority as children of God. Because when we do, things happen. But that is scripture. We are created, drawn in the name of Christ as a child of God. We have been given the right to be called children of God. And if he spoke things into being, then like our Father, we speak his word and we expect things to happen. We expect him to honor that word. We are the other side of the two-mouthed sword, speaking the word of God to change our environments, our communities, our families, our neighborhoods, and even our governments for the better. So I'm Kelly Langston. Thank you. That is all I have for today. I would love to know what you think. So you can join the conversation by connecting on kellylangston.com, kellylangston.com. I have a contact page and you can sign up for my newsletter or just join the discussion. I would love to hear what you have to say. I also have a community, and let's talk about this. It'll be open. You can find the link on kellylangston.com. I will put that community link on that website. Sign up for my newsletter, and you'll also find it there. And I am really glad that you listened. Share this with anyone who needs a little bit of encouragement, because I think that's my whole purpose, I think, is we are in a hard time, but we are to encourage each other, to give each other courage, because I believe this is a very special time, and I believe that we are not alone, that the Lord is with us, and we can see mountains move, and the greatest days, I do believe, are ahead. So, again, I'm Kelly Langston. Have a great day, and don't forget to go out and try some pistachio coconut coffee. I do it as a cappuccino. Pistachio, coconut, cappuccino. Join back in. We're going to start doing a series. First, I've got one of my friends is coming over who is a prayer warrior, and we are going to talk about prayer. And prayer is something that I'm going to be honest, quite frankly, I thought it was kind of boring. I know. I'm confessing that to you until I saw its power and what really happens when we pray, especially pray in God's word like we've been talking about. We're going to do an open discussion on that in the next podcast, and then we're going to dive into identity, which I think is super important today. So take care. I'm Kelly Langston, and have a super great day and week, and God bless you.